Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, trainers, to the Executive Edition. I'm your host, SosaFlow, from the Poke Battle Network, and I'm here interviewing the top trainers and content creators that we have had throughout our entire journey as battlers. We are kicking off our first edition with the man himself, the legend who keeps bringing us all of the great Sylph content as we are starting Season 5 of Sylph, PvP Steve. Steve, how you doing today?
Oh, g'day, battlers, as I am required to say. I'm doing pretty good, so I say, how about you?
I'm good. I'm not required to say anything. That's really great that you have, like, a contract, requirements. That g'day, battler, though, is definitely something you should tag for sure, because it just gets everybody happy when they hear it. They're like, oh, it's going to be a good day. What do we got today, Meta Steve?
Exactly right. There was actually another there was another Aussie content creator who made a video one time saying that said g'day battlers, not in like any sort of copying way, and I right. made a joke. It's like, hey, that's my thing. Copyright trademark. Sorry, g'day battlers cannot be added by another human. Please choose from the vocabulary again. But look, my Australian word. Forget about the other 23 million people that live here. It's gone.
So people just have to pay Steve now to when they say good day battlers, you have to give about 5 pence to Steve. And you're like, that's not a lot, but if 23 million people are giving up 5 pence, that's a lot of money.
Oh, it adds up to a lot of dollaritos.
Dollaritos.
Nice. Oh, come on, The Simpsons, dollaritos. Classic episode.
Oh, okay. Yes. Classic episode indeed. But we're not here to talk about Simpsons. We're here to talk about your journey as a content creator, because you had started way back when with the Kingdom Cup, and it has just been wonderful to have you still continue and still be so passionate. So why don't you tell us your journey of how you started as a content creator here?
Yeah, sure. So Sylph Arena obviously kicked off back in January 2019 with the Boulder Cup, and I'd only started playing the game like a couple months before. So I think I started in September of 2018, because back in the original 2016 craze, my phone wasn't good enough to run the game. So sad times. I definitely wanted to play. I just couldn't. But then September 2018 rolled around. I saw an old friend of mine playing the game, and it's like, yeah, let's give that a go. And so got the game, played for a couple months, and then Sylph Arena came out with, you know, monthly metas, some sort of thing, and there were tournaments going on in my community in January. Unfortunately, I missed the first one in this first Boulder Cup, but then they decided that they were going to run a second Boulder Cup. So I decided to rock up. You know, I quickly put a team together, not really understanding how PvP worked. And because it was a bunch of other people who mostly didn't understand how it worked either, I think I went like 2-1 or something. Definitely nice. Shouldn't have. There was like two people there who knew what they were doing and crushed the rest of us. But then Twilight Cup came around, and that's when I started going to YouTube, and it was like looking at all of these content creators. I explicitly remember Purple Koga, watching a lot of his videos way back when. And I think GamePress was making made a Twilight Cup Meta Simplified infographic. And I was looking at that infographic, and that's what I was sort of using to to build my team. I didn't have people to practice against. I still didn't really know people in the community yet. So I just looked at that graphic, sort of picked a Pokemon from each of the, I think it must have been some sort of pentagram. There were like five groups. I picked one Pokemon from each group, and then that's all I needed. So I didn't really add in a new Pokemon. I was just like, well, I've got five. Let's just throw in some random Pokemon. Spiritomb, you're on the team, with no intention of using it. It was not good in Twilight Cup, by the way. No one should ever have picked Spiritomb. But I was done. I had a team of five. And I went in and I ended up winning. And I was pretty happy with it. Went 4-0. And I was like, wow, that's really handy. And then March came around and I did pretty decent. I won one tournament and lost one tournament in the March meta, which I think was Tempest. And then it came to Kingdom Cup. And I was kind of like, okay, I've really appreciated the content creation that's sort of been in the scene. Like, I'm really loving getting this information. It's obviously really helped me in sort of getting started. So then I was like, I kind of want to do that for other people as well. So then I sort of made a video talking about, it was just Kingdom Cup Battle. So I was just getting my footing. Yeah. It is such an awkward video. You can tell there is just no confidence there at all. Like, he is just not ready to be recording a video, but he gave it a go. Good job, Steve. And then made one video, made a second video. And then my third video was a tournament recap of my Kingdom Cup. I think I won the tournament.
You did.
Using Dragonair.
Looking at it right now, it says Victoria Steve. And you, right, went from you went from 100 views to 3,000 views on that in just one look.
Well, what happened basically was I won this tournament using Dragonair as a safe swap, which back then, like, strategies were sort of hard to come by. Like, no one really talked about strategy so much. It was more just this is the meta, these are some battles. So I sort of came out with this Dragonair safe swap thing. I posted it to Reddit, and it just kind of blew up out of nowhere. I mean, as you said, like, you know, I was getting 100 views for the first two videos, and then it just rocketed up to over 3,000 on this third one. And I was like, I see that I'm doing something here. I'm providing some level of value, so let's keep it going. And it's just sort of like, you know, evolved from there. I think actually the very next month in May was the Nightmare Cup. Mm-hmm. And I decided to, you know, take my hand at making a meta simplified infographic. So, like, doing the same thing that GamePress was doing, providing that sort of value. And I gave it a go. There were no colored arrows. It was all black arrows, still really spaghetti. Like, I don't think I grouped up any Pokemon. It was all like individual Pokemon in here in the matchups. I even made a version 2 that month. Like, I made a second video where I did add color to the arrows, and I sort of moved stuff around. But I mean, that's basically to now.
You definitely adapted that style right early off the bat. It was definitely, as I was going through, because I did the same thing looking for content, you came across it. I was like, oh, who is this guy? Just basically took paint and just drew a nightmare. And then you did the second one. I was like, oh, at least he did colorful this time. And it was really, it was brilliant. And you just kind of adapted this. It seems like right off the bat on Nightmare, you adapted your style with this paint and making these metas.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, if I'm going to draw something, the only thing I know how to draw in is MS Paint. So I guess that's where I'm going to go. Base it in all these Pokemon, drew some spaghetti arrows, and nothing's changed.
No, and as a content creator and someone who also needed to find content early in that day, thank you. I definitely used GamePress, and they had a thing beautiful too that was Counter the Counters. And I don't know if you used that when they would – you could counter the meta. So they had one where it was like, these Pokemon are really good. So like you were saying in Twilight Cup, Azumarill, that was where we all learned about Azumarill.
Yeah.
And then throughout those times, we weren't really picking up strategy. That's why your Kingdom Cup video was so good, because you were the first one that actually showed like a strategy where like Psionic and Kyogre were like, use this Pokemon. But it wasn't like in-game play. And that's what I really appreciated about your video there back then.
Yeah, I mean, and I wasn't trying to do anything, by the way. It was just sort of happened. It was just like, yeah. I played the tournament and Dragonair happened to do well for me as sort of a neutral soft win, soft loss sort of mon. And so that's, I needed a title and that was the title. So, and off it went.
So you kick it off, you're going through, you're going hard, you're building your community up. How, what is your community like out there in Australia for season one and basically up to 2020, up to the pandemic? How you as a content creator helped your community grow and what did you do with your community in those early times?
Yeah, so we definitely had like, you know, back then there were no round robins, so you needed 8 people for a ranked tournament, whereas nowadays you only need a minimum of 4 because you can do that round robin format. And we were sort of, at the start, season one, we were getting like sometimes 5 rounds, I think. We occasionally got to that 16 mark. Usually not. It was usually around the sort of 10 to 12 mark. You know, famously, I'm not even close to the largest Pokemon Go YouTuber in Newcastle because Zoe Two Dots happens to live here. So she came to a couple and she actually won the other Twilight Cup that I didn't attend. So we were doing like two tournaments a month, 2 Boulder Cups, 2 Twilight Cups. And then we sort of decided, settled down to 1 a month. Everyone would come to this 1 tournament per month and it just chugged along and we were just having a good time. We started doing online tournaments as well. And that was back in the days when you needed 30 days of in-game friendship to be able to battle remotely.
The pain.
Yeah. So I set up like a spreadsheet in the same way that Go Stadium did with like tracking where everyone's friendship was up to, you know, harassing people to be like, hey, you need to open more gifts from forever because you won't
you
be
were
able
that
to.
Person?
I was that person.
Nice.
I wanted to get everyone up to cuff, up to ultra friends so that we could all do the remote battles as soon as possible. So we did 1 in person a month and then 1 online a month. And that's sort of how we went. And yeah, it was pretty good. And it stayed awesome through until obviously the pandemic came through. And then we moved to just an online sort of format, which has kept going to this day. So I'm pretty happy that we're still doing local tournaments, even with the previous ranking system.
But you had built that community up at the beginning. So that's great that you were already an online presence for your community, where a lot of people, where we were only online on Discord for my community, where we did more of in person. We didn't have online. I did my online through Go Stadium. So that's how I did it. So you guys did a really good job there at keeping your community together. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was just because I was bored and I didn't have friends to battle with. And by making the community tournaments online, I forced
Steve,
people to battle with me. It's genius.
Steve, that's what I did. I was like, guys, come to NoHo. Because it was that struggle. Season one was a real struggle to get 8 people because you needed 8. In order for it to be a ranked, you needed 8 people. And we're like, hey, person at the park who looks like they're playing Pokemon, want to join? That wonderful that the in-person there. So 2020 hits, you guys are already based in the remote. How do you as a content creator keep your community up during these times?
Yeah, I mean, I just sort of, to be honest with you, I just kept doing what I was doing. I kept keeping up with the Meta Simplifieds, the videos. That was about the time when the pandemic came that Go Battle League came out. So obviously, there were, you know, far outcries of Sylphie's going to die, Go Battle League going to take over. You know, that sort of sentiment was definitely around. And a lot of the content creators who were in the Pokemon Go PvP space, especially making Sylph videos, sort of moved over to Go Battle League. So, you know, King, Zionic, obviously moved over to Go Battle League where there's a far wider audience base. So, like, when you're sort of looking to grow your channel, Go Battle League is absolutely the place to sort of do that in the PvP sphere. Like, just a massive audience there.
I concur. Yeah, completely concur. Like I did the same thing. I was like, no, Sylph's not gonna die for Team Rocket, and it was should have gone into GBL immediately.
Nah, but I've always had the attitude that if you're making content, if you make content that you don't want to make, it is just going to be a chore. You're not going to want to do it. It's not worth doing. So I decided that I was going to keep making the content that I wanted to make, the content that I would want to see as a viewer, and that was Sylph Arena content. So I'm not super big into Go Battle League. Like, I've never grinded out a season to try and hit Legend. There was one season when Kanto Cup was there. I just played a bunch because I was having fun using Alolan Sandshrew in the Kanto Cup and happy to have the veteran. But I've never been a pusher for Go Battle League rank. It's just not what's... I think it's just because it doesn't have that people-human interaction sort of element that I like. So I kept with Sylph, kept making Sylph content as the number of Sylph content creators steadily decreased as Go Battle League picked up. And just sort of, yeah, and that sort of helped to keep things a little bit afloat in my community, at least, by sort of keeping this stuff going, keeping this focus on hosting the tournaments, getting the 8 people in that we needed. And we still do that today.
You do a great job with it. And you did a great job with it back then too. Not only did you do it for Sylph, you joined a team during that time, a US team called Antimatter. And you helped out with a lot of the live tournaments that they were hosting and the internet tournaments that they hosted on Facebook and stuff like that. Tell us, during that time when you were doing Sylph and everything like that, how was it working with Antimatter and Nexus?
Yeah, so I guess this is sort of the topic of esports in Pokemon Go PvP, because obviously I think that many people are familiar with Mazer, was sort of this first organization, esports organization, that sort of came into the scene, signed a lot of players like Speediest Chief 2, like Doonbug, and sort of had this wide roster of people on their sort of card. And Antimatter Gaming was sort of the second esport organization to sort of come to the scene, because they were looking to host tournaments in the Pokemon Go sphere. So they had they had some deals. They had a relationship with Facebook Gaming. And so they were hosting these $1,000 tournaments through the Facebook Gaming platform. So like they had to host it on Facebook Gaming with $1,000 prize pools, which was sort of unheard of in the Pokemon Go sphere. Like, there have been very few tournaments with that sort of prize pool. Like, there was the Sylph Arena Season 2 World Championships. Was Season 2 or Season 3? It was the one where Speediest Chief won.
Season 2.
So they had a multi-$1,000 prize pool for that. But wow. Most tournaments that have prize pools are sort of down in the $50, $100 range, because they're very grassroots. Whereas Antimatter was sort of, I guess, unique in bringing in this sort of, industry cash, in terms of like over the course of their tournaments, they brought in over $10,000 worth of prize pools into the Pokemon Go community. So they like... It was revolutionary, I guess, in terms of there were these $1,000 tournaments. Some of them were US only because of the deal restrictions based on where the money was coming from. Some of them were able to be global. Some of them were North America, so Mexico, USA, and Canada, except for certain provinces where apparently competing for cash prizes is sort of a no-no. Something to do with gambling laws. In very, very few sort of territories, but it is out there. And so they asked me when they were hosting the first one, I think it was the US Open Kanto Cup was the very first tournament they hosted. And they sort of asked me to join them on the casting bench. And I was like, yeah, okay. And it ended up being me and Dragonite, who was one of the owners at the time. And so we were doing some sessions. I was teaching him how to cast Pokemon Go, because he was a veteran caster from other games. And very familiar with Pokemon. I mean, his caster name was Dragonite, so you reckon he probably knows a thing or two about little pocket monsters. So we sort of had some sessions. I trained him up, did some like basics, how you cast Pokemon Go, and we cast that tournament. $1,000 went out. I think I want to say that Rise to Occasion won that very first tournament, and it was a lot of fun. It was sort of like, obviously, you and me, Sosa, have done plenty of casting in the past. It was, I think, January of 2020. For some reason, it seared into my head that we did this tournament. It was you, me, King, and Dr. Trotter, I think it was, were casting a tournament that you were hosting on Team Rocket Academy. And
it wasn't a tournament. Was it Sunrise Cup? Because the only thing that you and I think King and I would have done together with though is something self-official, and you weren't on Continentals with me. You were did I had you because I found you for our first look when they did their first look Sunrise Cup, and I saw you and I was like, I got to get this kid on. He's got to come on with us. I was like, can we get this guy? He's hilarious. He's amazing. He's nothing but joy coming out there. And you kind of need that when you have like King and though, because they're great. They're great personalities to understand things, but to balance those guys out, you need somebody fun on the desk too.
I am confident, Sosa. I was casting with King. You're on the analyst desk. It was definitely a thing. I don't know what it was, but it happened. I am so confident.
But was it APAC? Was it APAC? No.
It was not Silph Official. It was on Team Rocket Academy. I'm so certain, and I'm gonna find it after we're done here, and I'm gonna give you the link because it.
You know what? If you find anything on Team Rocket stream, by all means, my guy, send it to me, please. James never saved a damn thing that we did. He's got none of the videos. I could get nothing from him. I didn't save the video. It was gone. So like all of the early live tournaments, if I didn't hit highlight on that, gone. It's all gone. All the production's gone. Dang so it. Like. Yeah, good luck. Good luck finding it. You can ask James.
Okay, fine. Your word against mine. But
I okay. I believe you've got. I believe you're right. I believe you could be. I've done so many. I believe you could be 100% right. But I don't. Not off the top of my head, can think of what the tournament was.
Yeah, I mean, neither can I. It might have been.
Was it a dream? Did you have a premonition of our Silph battle tower for future 2023? Me, you, King, and though?
It was all just a dream. But now I've awoken, and we're doing the executive series.
Yes, okay, back on to
regardless, back on track. So yeah, I was doing these Nexus tournaments, and then I think I did two or three of those tournaments casting before they sort of asked me to join on to the Antimatter roster. And since then, it's grown a bunch. I mean, they've got 6-4 Ninja, Elo to Colo, NCK 228. Actually, NCK joined before I did. He was senior to me. They've got Concentrate Queen now, Trainer Rems there. So it's definitely a really fun team with those sort of really nice people, I think is how to summarize it. And so it kept on going. $1,000 tournament here, $1,000 tournament here. And it was just a lot of fun. I'm very glad that sort of came up in a bit of a, I guess, a lull in the competitive Pokemon Go tournament scene, just because it was that pandemic season.
Yeah, and we, to Antimatter for hosting those, truly appreciate you guys for doing that. It was a lull in that scene. And again, Steve, you came up with tournament and you know, shows and stuff like that, because we don't have live in-person tournaments anymore. And you guys found Kanto Cup and made that a thing, and it made that fun. And that was such a great watch. So yeah, great job there.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So you're going through it. You're in Nexus Antimatter. it is the coming to the end of 2020. The world still on fire-ish for everybody else. I don't think you guys were on fire at that point.
We were doing pretty good.
You guys were doing pretty good, right? Getting back in with Sylph and keeping the Sylph flow going in 2021, what challenges did you see, or what challenges were you faced with? Yeah, because half the world is open and half the world is closed, right? And we're trying to get into our fourth season here, and it's very tough because a lot of us want to get back to in person, but half the world is out, half the world is in. So as a battler and as a content creator, man, what were the difficulties you saw ahead?
Yeah, so I think as Sylph Arena season 4 sort of kicked off, so that was the 2021 to 2022 season. It was very people were really anxious to get back to these in-person tournaments. They really wanted to do it, but Sylph was sort of a little bit unsure about it all. They didn't want to hard commit to everyone go back in person, but they sort of wanted to allow people to do that if it was safe to do so. So obviously going into Sylph Arena season 5 now, they're like, it's hum and ha, in-person tournament, rah, rah, rah. Right. But, a season ago, it was definitely still a little bit COVID was still on the, hanging around, vaccination rates were stalling in certain places. And it was a little bit we were still playing it cautious while there were still all of these new variants and that sort of thing. In my community, we didn't end up doing any in-person tournaments because we just decided to play it safe in that regard. We will be starting up pretty soon, but back then it was like, we'll just keep doing online. And I think that was the attitude of a lot of communities as well. I just didn't want to quite jump into the in-person scene quite yet, but we just kept chugging along. My content's stale, man, in the sense that I just sort of keep doing the same thing with the brand new meta. It's it's not like it's a bad thing. It's the meta simplified every month. We do some tournament recaps, occasionally get some live streams going, depending on the meta. I know for the last Sylph Arena meta, I did a live stream where I used every single Pokemon that was eligible and didn't stop the stream until I used every Pokemon that was an option, which is definitely a lot of fun. You can only do it when the meta is confined enough. And let's just say there was a lot of stinkers in that meta. A lot of ones you didn't want to use. Just sort of kept doing what we were doing. You and me did a couple of things as well. For example, I ran a Clash of the Champions tournament, where we got back the continental champions and the world champions from seasons 1 through season 3. We got, it was all Speedus Chief, Doonbug, Shady Equation, who just became the North American continental champion, Bibblicious from season 2, European continental champion, even back to season 1 with Shmoosif came in from the North American side. So it was a really cool tournament, getting all of these top battlers. There was this tweet from Zionic back at the end of Sylph Arena season 1, where because there wasn't online tournaments weren't really feasible because of that 30-day friendship limit requirement, I guess. They had three tournaments around the world. They had one at each GoFest, I think it was sort of technically supposed to be. There was one at North America, there was one in Latin America, and then there was one in Europe. And so there were sort of these.
Are you talking teams. Showdown?
No. I'm talking season 1. There was the championship in North America where Shmoosif won. There was the one in EU where Raging Taz won, and there was the one in Latin America where Escombrora won. But there wasn't any there were just three champions. There wasn't.
This was pre Steve joining Sylph, so of course there's no content or information out there about any of this. But this did go through because this is again another reason why I pushed in season 2 to get more content out there, and I'm sure you did too. Because when you saw there was a championship that happened and you didn't get to watch it, were you not upset?
I remember there was a stream where King and Raging Taz were sort of casting the show. I remember Pokemon Master Holly was there doing interviews. There was definitely some broadcast coverage, but I'm pretty sure the footage is also dead to time. Because I was in trying to hype up this Clash of the Champions thing, I was going back to look for old footage, and it is just so sparse and bare. Like the only things that I could really get were the clips from Pokemon Master Holly's YouTube video on the topic, and that was kind of it, unfortunately. And I mean, wow. there's that GIF that is locked into Twitter somehow. I don't know how GIFs get onto the Twitter GIF search thing, but there's like Zionic doing the Ludicolo dance, sitting next to King in their button-up shirts.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah. That was a good one. I remember that tournament. I thought they were talking about Showdown, because they did Showdown too, season one, or King did Showdown. I don't know if Zionic was there, and they were like Ramberto, like it was King and somebody else. It looked like they were just all squished in like a bathroom. I don't know if you watched that tournament, but I do know what you're talking about the those. I was talking about the world championship of season one that we didn't get to watch anything of.
Well, there wasn't a world championship. It was the three tournaments with Schmoosive, Raging Tads, and Escambrora, and that there wasn't a. So that's what I was saying. Zionic made a tweet that said, can we get like a tournament with these three facing off each other for an official world champion? And that was sort of the spark that then was like, oh, we can just get all of the champions from all of the seasons, put them all together in a tournament and see what happens. It was you and me were together casting that Clash of the Champions and so, you know, we've sort of done some stuff. It's just sort of a little bit of that here and there, some Friday night fights action, and just keeping the content train going as 2021, 2022 sort of kept chugging along.
Awesome. Yeah, it's tough. It was definitely a tough year because I was one of those people, I'm sure you were as well, that just wanted to be back live person, in person in 2021, 2022. And there were so many struggles to create content because I love doing in-person content creation and then bringing those tournaments to the people so we get to watch them live. So the fact that we had to do that struggle and come up with these kind of things, and you came up with Clash of Champions and were able to give us Nexus League, it's just another amazing accomplishment that you do for this community, Steve. That's why you're an executive and you're up here on this executive edition.
Are you just here to like keep throwing compliments at me? Because I'm not comfortable with this, Sosa. This is too much praise. My head's going to get too big. Ego, first off, take it.
Hold up. You have an ego? If I've ever met a guy without an ego, it's you. Like, it's like you, and then like Speediest Chief has just a little bit of an ego, but he doesn't like, it's not like he's like boasting about anything. Like, but you know, he like has good time with it as well. But like at the bottom of the barrel, I'm talking like it's the two of you, and then it's like the most humblest man in the world on top of you guys. There's no ego there. There's nothing I could do, but I, you know, let you know that you've just, if you're not feeling that from the community, or if they've not said it to you, my guy, like, we really, you know, appreciate that. You do so much for the community. If they don't know about you from on listening to BTW here, then it's time. This is great for them to start learning about you and all that you do for us. Because if it wasn't for you, my man, we wouldn't have had a Continental season 3 or season 4. Or we wouldn't have had any good information coming out for that and for Sylph as well. And as a battler who loves seeing content like battles and wants to see championship battles, like, you can't, like, thank you. Thank you for the press. Thank you for pressing them, because it would have been so disappointing if we missed any of these championship runs.
Look, I appreciate you, Sosa, but I'm going to have to take issue with you know, Speediest Chief losing the humble crown. I'm infatuated with that man. There's nothing he can do wrong, ever.
Oh my God. If you two got onto a Play Pokemon tournament, would it just be the two of you complimenting each other? Like, yeah, as you see, the Umbreons are going into it. Steve, you just are just so sparkling today. Oh, Speediest, coming from the man who emits sparkles, I'm just taking sparkles from you. No, Steve, you've just got this wonderful shine to you. It's just so great. Oh, it looks like the last resort is finally being thrown, but Speediest Chief's last resort to win my heart is never undone.
Yo, here comes the Probopass, but the only man with better facial hair than Probopass is Speediest Chief sitting to my left. And man, I could just stare at that all day. Wait, what was happening? Sorry.
Seriously, that'd be great. I'm surprised that they haven't gotten the two of you yet. Like, I think you guys would just be a great combo together, casting.
Oh, look, there are plenty of really good casters from around North America. You know, yeah. Caleb Peng is just an absolute legend. Butters, DeFi, all coming in and doing a great job. And Gabby Snyder coming in as well. But my hopes just lie on OCIC coming up in February. That's
my hopes too.
Australian home turf.
My hopes is to cast OCIC too. No, I'm just kidding. I'd never take that from you guys. Like I could. You guys are set over there with all the amazing content creators you have out there. And I hope you do get it, Steve, because you are nothing but an amazing talent for this battling community. So you have future hopes then. OCIC, what else do you see for yourself then coming into 2023, getting the new season going? What are your hopes for the future, Steve?
Yeah, well, I mean, something that I sort of hope comes in 2023 that unfortunately I was denied in 2022 was the chance to attend North American Go Fest. Now, I was supposed to go this year. However, COVID had other plans, and I think 3 days before I was supposed to fly out, we got the positive test and sadly wasn't able to make it. So I'm hoping that that can actually come through this year coming. But
Go Fest only, maybe Hoenn Cup, Hoenn in Vegas.
The Las Vegas Hoenn tournament, or the Hoenn event, is actually the same day as the OCIC.
No, Niantic, why?
So I'm not going to be there for that, but you know, it's not as bad as the other couple of regionals that are happening the same weekend as the actual like major Hoenn Tour event, the global event. Luckily, us Aussies do get the chance to participate that in the following weekend. So
that's awesome.
I'm pretty okay with the result when all things considered. There are others in worse spots.
Yeah. People have to actually, you know, want to go out to Vegas, can't because they got to go do OCIC. No, it's understandable. It's understandable. Arlington Community Weekend? Arlington? Like, that must have been upsetting for some people. Imagine being, like, down in Arlington and you want to do the community day and you can't because you're, like, in top eight. You've got to focus. You've got to battle. You just can't, like, go and catch all the Pokemon because, oh, you keep winning. You're like, damn it. You keep going. You keep going. You're like, oh.
Well, tell you what, Sosa, at the Melbourne tournament, last play Pokemon season, it was going on the same day as that Amora and Tyrant research that day.
No!
And so I was in the building for that and not going out and catching things. And now that Aurorus is so good and Aurorus. I don't have any good IV Aurorus-esses, all because of some silly PvP tournament that kept me away from looking at cool dinosaurs. Now I'm struggling when we're coming up on the Holiday Cup when Aurorus is like number one in the meta.
Number one. I think it's got a 98% rent rating. Like, it's over. Like, that thing is so beast. Like, I'm bringing in like Obstagoon or something like that. I think I'm just double countering so that way I don't have to worry about that thing.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, that's it's a bit of a downside of the Play Pokemon tournaments in that because there's so many of them going on like every weekend, and pair that up with Niantic sort of having these Pokemon Go events like seemingly every weekend, there's just so much sort of stuff coming on over the top of each other. And like, I sort of get it from the sense that there's obviously a huge Pokemon Go player base. They have different interests, so you can sort of pick and choose what matters more to you. But it just sucks as the sort of the smaller community of battlers who, I mean, obviously we want to participate in these Play Pokemon tournaments because they're really fun. They're a pleasure to be around. They're great to participate in. And sometimes just a really cool event just sort of passes us by, with the exception being the Hoenn Tour, because it's such a huge event, it is actually pulling people out of Play Pokemon tournaments. So it can go the other way as well. And I'm not sure if there's a solution so much.
I know a solution. I know one. They're not going to like it, but I know one. Move one of your events to the weekend, the weekdays. It's not anybody wants it, but it'll solve some of the problems. Or don't put it on the, you know, don't make every weekend a thing. How about that? Like Niantic does that. They make every weekend a thing. Like for in-person, I wanted to ask you about this too, like creating in-person again. We have more Niantic weekends now, like just piled onto each other. You got community days, you got classic community days, there's research weekends, there's spotlight hours, stuff like that over the weekends. As a creator and helping of building the community, how do you work around that?
Well, here's the thing, actually. In January, there's the community day, Chessnaught community day that's set for, I want to say, January 7th, Saturday, January 7th. And so...
San Diego, just so we're all aware, that's San Diego. play Pokemon.
Of course. We'll start talking about weekends in terms of which Play Pokemon tournament is on that weekend.
Right, speaking of, yeah.
But on January 8th, the Sunday, me and a couple of the other tournament organizers from around the state are all putting together this sort of statewide Sylph tournament in Sydney. Awesome. So it's sort of like, you get the community day on the 7th, on the Saturday, and then come for the tournament on the 8th, which like, in case people want to have like a little weekend away in Sydney, stay overnight. I live about a two and a half hour train ride away. So, I'll probably just play community day here in Newcastle and then head down the day after for the tournament. But it's sort of like, I guess, looking at the weekend that only has one day with an event on it and picking the other day. Or, of course, you can do the classic thing where you have the tournament that, it used to be a little easier in terms of the community day when it was like, maybe it was 11 to 2 and then you held the tournament from 2 p.m. after a couple of trades and evolves and stuff. Or you can do it the other way around, have a tournament and then do community day. But of course, at that point, you have to be have pretty good prediction skills as to when the tournament is going to finish. Yeah. To be able to time that right. But there's things you can choose. There's never going to be an ideal sort of solution. Other than just picking an empty weekend in the 0% of times that does happen. It is a little bit easier for us in the APAC region where there are far, far, far fewer Play Pokemon tournaments. So there's, we only had four this season, all of them in Australia. So, really unfortunate for the entire rest of Asia who currently has no Play Pokemon tournaments. They've got plenty of free weekends.
They got plenty of free weekends indeed.
But it's an unfortunate case. And I guess that's another thing where Sylph Arena in-person tournaments can sort of fill that gap a little bit for those communities who are underserved by the Play Pokemon circuit. So like you being in North America is sort of like, it's just chock to the brim. Like there's in-person tournaments going on every weekend all around the country. Someone's got something close.
Our small communities still have to drive somewhere to go out for those tournaments. Like I'm out here in a small community and it is not as booming as it should be. And I'm like, I will probably have to drive 100 miles just to go to a Sylph tournament.
100 miles, 2 kilometers. Wow. 160 kilometers. Okay.
Yeah. Like that's on my own. It's my own car, my own gas. I'll probably have Mudkip up with me too. That's what we do. We drive up to Phoenix for the live in-person tournaments out here because Tucson only has like 4 battlers, maybe.
Yeah.
Me, Mudkip, and like 2 others. So if we can't get that, you can't have a in-person tournament.
Well, but yeah. You can with 4 now with the brand new edition of Round Robins.
Right. That is true. What you're saying is absolutely, absolutely correct on with the small communities and having Sylph fill the gaps here for these smaller communities, these live in-person Sylph tournaments that you're hosting.
Yeah, it gives another avenue, I suppose, which is good.
Steve. We go into all sorts of stuff now because we got everything going on for the future, the past. Sir, what was your favorite meta?
I'll be honest with you. So this is so filled with nostalgia. Like as, there's that famous, there's that famous meme where I can determine your favorite Pokemon game based on when you were born. And it's just in order of whichever game was current at the time. It's like, my first game was Leaf Green. So I'm going to say my favorite game in the Pokemon series was Leaf Green. And that's just sort of how it tends to be. I'm sure that I'm going to bet so that your favorite is either blue or is it red? Blue, red, yellow. It's one of them, yeah, isn't it?
Blue, red. Same thing as green, but blue, red.
Yeah.
Sir, are you calling me old? Young man, are you calling me old?
I'm just really young, so I'm a child. I mean, I walk around in cargo shorts.
Yes, Steve. Mine is definitely red and blue. So your favorite meta is from season one?
Yeah, in the same way, it's sort of the nostalgia pick. So I really the two metas that sort of solidified in my head are Twilight Cup, because the memories of like just picking my team off the infographic. I caught a Golbat that morning, and so put that onto my team and replaced whatever I was using. And you know, won that tournament with the Spiritomb in the useless sixth slot. Like, that's just a really good memory to me, and I'll always just associate Twilight Cup with that memory. Let alone the fact that Twilight Cup is sort of, I probably for a similar reason, just nostalgia, is quite beloved. Around the place. Like, I think there was a Mirror Cup at the end of season one where you could sort of play back a lot of the season one metas. And most people were picking Twilight because it just sort of felt like a pretty balanced meta. It was just a fun meta using a bunch of sort of picks that, I mean, nowadays are way of, I mean, Nidoqueen would have been eligible, but it didn't have the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Fang way back then. But, you know, it came back for a factions meta, I believe, as well. There's a Twilight Field meta. So it's sort of this one that keeps coming back because it is quite beloved. The other one that's sort of stuck in my head is Kingdom Cup, which is a bit of an odd pick because I think that it's quite a sort of RPS meta in the sense that you had a fighter in Lucario, you had a tank in Bastion, and you had a flyer in Altaria. And most of the time it was just spinning those three around. Obviously, there were some people out there running Dragonair safe swaps, but, you know, a little bit of a core
sociopaths. We call them sociopaths.
Ridiculous human beings who should really
get checked out. Do you remember why Kingdom Cup was? Do you remember why Kingdom Cup happened? Why they did it for Kingdom Cup? Why they made that Kingdom Cup?
I mean, in regards to Game of Thrones being big at the time,
it was 100% right around the same as the season finale or season beginning of it. Because Kingdom Cup was dragon, steel, ice, fire, and something else. It was all nods to like Game of Thrones. It was one of my favorites. 100% one of my favorites.
Admittedly, that and I only watched Game of Thrones because it was my start of this year. I'm a bit behind.
You know what? When you were born, it's this old show. I'm sure you'll really like it. It came out probably a few years after you were born. Oh my God. Stop it. You hitting me with the color? Yo, when I was your age, we were turning knobs for the 7 channels we got. Had to hit that antenna right or else you weren't getting color.
Man, I grew up with TiVo. I'm sorted, man.
Yes, thank you. So, you've got Twilight Cup, you've got Kingdom Cup as your two favorites, but Twilight is your number one?
Yeah, that's how we're going to lock it in, Eddie.
Lock it in. Twilight Cup is your favorite. All right. If you could host a tournament with any battlers, who would the 8 battlers be?
Any battlers. Okay. We got to think about draft picks here. We want the hypest battlers of all time. We want, I think we have to, I mean, I'm sort of thinking back to sort of like world champion status. So like you get Dance and Robin there, reigning world champion. You get ME Weedle, reigning world champion. You get Speedus Chief, previous world champion. You get Doombug in there. You know, you sort of get all of these big players. You set out 4 there. You bring in Vroom Vroom Pow as the reigning Silverina world champion. So there's 5 already, just filled with a litany of world champions. So we're already looking pretty stacked. And then I'm going to put in this guy who's just going to get crushed by these five. And he goes by SosaFlow.
No, please don't.
He's just there to get as demolished as he's ever been in his entire life.
He's going to be one, it in spice. Out of
one Pokemon. Okay, so he's number six for sure, guaranteed.
Oh, good.
And then, okay. How do I fill out this roster? Like, it was easy when you just pick a category that can fill out so many slots for you. Okay, you know what? I'm going to bring in two. I'm going to bring in Mardo Galdo. And the reason I bring Mardo in is because I just want the BMs. I just want to bass it on to be sludge waved. Actually, you know what? That's my final pick. Bring in Caleb Peng because he brings the bass it on. Mardo can come in with the BMs sludge wave against bass it on. That is my roster pick.
Those are your eight. I'm not going to lie. Besides myself, I thank you, and I do will get demolished, but I will. They will sweat bullets. I'll take at least one from somebody.
Yeah,
from
one by play.
Just wait till San Diego. Those are great. Those are absolute top tier picks. Absolutely right to have the top battlers, and then the Marto and Caleb. Great job too. And I just ask you because you've seen so many battlers come across, right? Who would be the most electric to watch and see? And so, just as a caster to caster themselves, like I just wanted to know, like who would you just love to see battle it out in a tournament? So that was wonderful. That's an absolute great beast of a lineup.
I mean, in Doonbug is one of the best battlers to watch, just in the sense that he is always really good. As we've just seen this weekend, where he's come away with the crown. First
you place watch that?
Going to Worlds. I'm still on catch up duty. Because of the time zone problems, yeah. I can't really watch them all live. So I decided to just wait until I can watch the VODs, and then I go on catch up.
I
watch them all delayed.
I would tell you to watch just the Doonbug, but the entire day two, nothing disappointed. Like there was the entire day two, this tournament was so amazing. I am loving the new meta. Like it was so good. The battles, the catches, the gameplay, the mind, my guy, like you're in for a treat this weekend. You're in for a treat.
He has this ability, a Doonbug, to always find where the win con is and just target it. And I've got this memory seared into my brain of the Silph Arena World Championships Season 3. Caleb and I were casting the World Championship Grand Final. And me and Caleb were both like, oh, Doonbug's out here. We were thinking about the next battle. Like, oh, he's got to adjust in this way. And then Doonbug just comes out with this like one in a million chance to come away with a win con. It was like, oh my gosh, he wins the game. He becomes the world champion there on the spot. It's like, just like we were the casters, so we could see all of the moves. We could see where all of the energy was. We could see where all of the teams were still relying. And we were still like, Doon's done here. But Doon just has that power of knowing where the win con is and knowing exactly what he has to do it, and is definitely one of my favorite battlers to get the chance to watch for sure.
Great. I'm going to substitute my spot for Doonbug. So that's a great top eight lineup, and I'm glad that we got to there because that's exactly it. Steve, if you could have a buddy Pokemon walk around with you, who would it be?
That is the easiest question of all time, Sosa. And to be honest, I'm a little bit offended that it's even a question that has to exist because and everyone else, there's many people around the world who get this question wrong because there's just objectively a correct answer. Oh. That answer being Ditto. Yeah. I mean, Ditto can just be them all, Sosa. It's logic done. It can be anything. Shown in Detective Pikachu, it can become humans as well. Like it is the ultimate, you can get out of anything. You can, any sort of like prank you want, any Pokemon buddy you want. And hopefully it's even got those like cute little dot eyes.
You nailed it, Steve. That is a great Pokemon. Absolutely. I mean, especially because we saw Detective Pikachu. Absolutely can be anybody as long as it wears sunglasses.
Yeah. As long as it wears sunglasses.
Right. That's great. Ditto's a great Pokemon. Oh man. If you had the chance to cast World Championships in Yokohama, would you?
Look, Absolutely, Sosa. Like, I would essentially, like, I'd take that in a heartbeat. Any sort of play Pokemon tournament, if I was offered, I would be there. I'd be doing, like, nothing but prep for weeks beforehand, just doing casting practice. But I think that I'm also a realist, and I'm setting my sights on OCIC no further for now.
Great.
Definitely, like, you know, World Championship, there's some brilliant casters who are well seasoned in the Play Pokemon circuit, and I really hope that they get the chance to sort of continue, because it's obviously a nerve-wracking thing when you have to do it for the first time. I mean, Amanda Lundberger recently was put on the casting bench for the first time for a Play Pokemon tournament. She's a seasoned caster. She knows what she's doing. But once you get onto that
one of the best
Play Pokemon stage for the first time, she got a bit nervous. She said that in a tweet, I think. And so, you know, you don't want Worlds to be your first stop, is what I'm saying. You want some experience beforehand. Get yourself up to the point where you think you're ready to take on the World Championships on the casting bench.
OCIC is the goal. All right. Steve, my guy, are you going to be trying to do live streaming for your in-person tournaments?
I think not at this stage. Just because, look, I make medicine fights in MS Paint. I'm famously one of the most low-tech, not really knowing what I'm doing sort of guys around when it comes to this sort of thing. I actually did a live tournament for the Nexus League for Antimatter Gaming when I was in Pittsburgh earlier this year. And so I was hosting that while I was casting with Speedius Chief, actually. Speedius Chief, who I was supposed to meet in Pittsburgh, but unfortunately his flight didn't work out. And so we just had to talk virtually. I swear that the day that I get to hug that man, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to hug him first. I'm going to hug him in San Diego. Take a picture and send to you and be like, wish you were here, sucker.
Any photo with Speedius Chief is what I'm most jealous of in this world. And it was very scrappy in terms of like just putting stuff together, wishy-washy, making it work how it works. And I can definitely do that. But I think that it helps when there's a Wi-Fi connection, which none of our in-person tournaments have a very good Wi-Fi connection. So we'd probably need to find a new venue if that's something we wanted to explore, I think. And then, you know, I'd just be scrappy, host it on a laptop, have it OBS up, hit go, and then do nothing fancy.
Trust me, it's super easy. It's super easy. You just hit go and you don't really change anything. You just have people plug in their phones. You're like, okay, let's go.
All right, Poke Battle Network. I'll trust you.
Oh, trust me. We're doing it over here. We've done at least 4 live in-person tournaments in Phoenix and 1 in Tucson. It's been super fun. But that's great that you're still out there for your community. And I know you're a scrappy guy. I was just wondering if you were doing that.
Not yet.
As a creator, what are your futures for Pokemon Go?
Like my goals, my plans.
What are your future goals for Pokemon Go? Like the community, like what do you see for the community here in Pokemon Go?
I think that Sylph Arena with this sort of, it's sort of going through a second wave of people saying that Sylph was going to be dead after Play Pokemon sort of came a thing, as well as Go Battle League. But I think that Sylph Arena is sort of making moves to angle itself to be, fit into the new environment. So obviously there've been those recent changes that you talked about on Poke Battle News and Poke News, sorry. And in terms of like it's moving to a lower battle maximum, I guess, because we're going down to 40 ranked battles per 2 months, where in the past you could, if you wanted to stay competitive, if you wanted to be number one, you had to do 6-7 round tournaments per month. So it's essentially halving the requirement to do your maximum number of battles in the Sylph Arena. And so it's giving those top battlers, because at the end of season 4, there were a lot of battlers who were sort of saying, I performed really well in season 4. I'm really happy with how I did, but it's a bit too much of a grind for me. So I'm going to take season 5 off competitively. And so by reducing the number of battles that it requires to stay competitive, by also making so there's meta crossover between Sylph factions and the Sylph Arena, by bringing in specific Go Battle League formats that can be ranked as well, and of course Open Great League, which can be used as Play Pokemon practice, I think it sort of sets up the Sylph Arena to be this sort of thing that has a place in terms of it keeps bringing these custom metas that are a little bit more fun, stay a little bit more dynamic and less stale than the Open Great League meta that gets a slight update every 3 months with the move changes. So I think that Sylph Arena is going to continue to be a thing, and I'm hoping that that can sort of be embraced by the community a little bit more as Sylph comes back to more in-person tournaments. There obviously are battle towers that are coming back for Sylph Arena as well. Now, I never got the chance to be even close. Like, you know, I would have to hop 12 countries to get to the closest battle tower, more. So there was nothing around here but Sylph Arena. I mean, that's because battle towers were introduced basically at the start of the pandemic, and so it didn't get to last very long before we had to close down shop on in-person tournaments. But I think battle towers potentially might be another way for people to sort of engage in the Sylph Arena, be a little bit more involved. There's no details yet. They're keeping it under wraps. There'll be more announcements soon. I mean, speaking of soon, they did just put out the soon graphic as we're recording this morning. So by the time this comes out, the metas are probably out for Sylph Arena and Jan and Feb. I'm sort of hoping that we reach a little bit of an equilibrium in the community as far as like what we can sort of fit in and where, and maybe that becomes a little bit more calm on the Play Pokemon side as well, just because it is so go, like every weekend. I'm looking to figure out what steady state is as a scientist. Sort of for the community, I guess, for these battles.
Okay, that's great. That you hit on a lot of great points. There's a lot going on, trying to get Sylph, the battle towers, the new rounds up, the whole system. It's going to be what you're hoping for is to bring battlers back, because nowadays it's like do as many as you can because that's the only way you're going to get top ranked, where now it's like, no, there is a limit again. Because back in our first seasons, it wasn't, you know, there wasn't remote like crazy. We weren't gun-hoeing 50 tournaments a weekend. We were doing one.
Yeah.
And that may have had three rounds to it. Yeah. You weren't finding the 9, the 7, the 4, you know, you weren't like every tournament wasn't like 12 rounds. It was just three. And it was people you knew. And it was just a good community where, like, since the pandemic, you can easily find 6, 7 rounders in one day, do them all and knock it all out in a day, which that would be your wave. Yeah. And then can continue to do that. And some people don't have that battler stamina. So what you're saying about keeping the consistency so that Sylph can find its way with the Play Pokemon and stuff like that, doing this round system is a great way to bring those battlers back. And I think Battle Towers will help bring that back as well. Granted, it's another event on another weekend, right? So now you just got to be like, all right, guys. So there's Battle Tower to watch on the 7th of Saturday of January. There's Play Pokemon on the 14th. There's a Community Day on the 15th. You got Community Day Classics on the next weekend. Like, when are we going to be able to do these live tournaments? But having the Battle Tower, it was fun because I got to go to one. And yeah, I got to go to Portland, and we'll talk about my sad time about LA. I got to help build and like get LA ready, but I couldn't battle in it because I had to work that day.
Oh.
My life, like just make Pokemon my work, please, so that I don't have to keep missing it for other stupid work because I do live events. But the last they did, or so it was, LA was a mega. Then you had the battle tournaments pop up. You had Portland, Orlando, and one in Chile. And right as they were about to do Philadelphia, it was the pandemic. So it's really good that they're bringing it right back, right at the beginning, too. So it's not like season two, we got to wait another season for Battle Tower. They are kicking it right off the bat, and that will help kick them off, too, stabilize it as well.
Yeah, and actually an idea that I'm not sure – I think Sylph probably won't go for it, but there's also the option to have these battle towers at the sort of at the Safari Zones, at the Go Fests.
Yeah.
But maybe it's probably better to leave that as its own tournament, because obviously one of the new announcements with the Sylph Arena also is that people who win an 8-round or larger tournament, so that's at least 129 people, get an auto invitation to Continentals. And so I think that maybe there's room to leave that for just a regular 8-round tournament with local organizers and have the Battle Towers be separate events that people travel for. But I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. And I am very jealous that you got to be involved in one, even without battling. And I look forward to hopefully being able to be at one this season, although we'll just have to wait and see what sort of, what comes out as far as when and where they're going to be, how they're going to work, that sort of thing.
Don't fly you out for the first Battle Tower to cast that, I will fucking call them and put up the money myself. Like, holy crap. You've been nothing but the face. Like, to not have you come out and do the first Battle Tower or introduce it or anything would just be a huge slap to your face. Like, I would be so disheartened by Sylph that they couldn't get you, the man himself, out to do it.
Okay, let me just say, I will not be offended, as flights are very expensive. the old international, especially if the first one's in Europe. Like, I'm pretty sure there was supposed to be one, or there was
one.
We'll
start a GoFundMe.
Okay, as long as it's look, I don't need to be there. I'm very happy for sort of more locals coming in cast as well.
No, absolutely. I just messing, but my guy, you'd have to at least go to one. They're so great, especially if you've gone to the Play Pokemon event too, because that's what it was like. And then at the end, you just see like 300 battlers sitting in a room, like people like the Elite Four and FP Sticks and, you know, PV Poke and Ben Strom, like Sassafras. We're all just sitting there watching House Stark versus Wild Susan Boyle in this epic matchup. Like, so good. It's just such a great energy. So I'm so excited they're bringing Battle Tower back.
I look forward to it.
You should. You should.
I wait with bated breath.
Sir, we've done about an hour of your time. I know we said just an hour. If you would like to go more, we can. I could definitely ask you more questions. We could talk metas. We could talk the new metas will have been out by the time this gets posted, because this will be in January. Do you have time for just a quick, how excited you of the new season? Like, you don't have to redo the whole rules. You don't have to re-go over your rules that you just did with Adelian, but what, you know, how excited you are, everything that's going on with season 5 of Sylph, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually really looking forward to all of the new Sylph Arena season 5 changes. Like,
same here.
I'm really happy with the sort of reduction in maximum battles. Like, I'm not sure if this last season in Sylph season 4, I don't think that I ever did the maximum number of tournaments. Like, I never did my cap of 6 ranked tournaments, just because I didn't really have the time. And I'm sort of wondering if maybe with this new system where it's not as many battles, it's 40 ranked rounds per month. So that's 10 4-round tournaments. So maybe five tournaments a month, maybe even three, depending on the number of rounds. I'm thinking that, like, maybe I decide to go competitive this season, because I've never Sylph Arena in season 1, which is when ranking came out, like in April, when it came out, I was actually like 200th in the world or something. And that's definitely a little skewed, because it wasn't these sort of online battles in the sense that I was battling my own community. I was in a Ghost Stadium lobby. And so it was a smaller pool of people that I was battling, but I was like 200th in the world. And then Rainbow Cup came along, and for some reason, like, I don't know why I did this, but at the time, the ranking or waiting tournaments worked in that you had to tick a tournament before you started and say, this is going to be my weighted. And I waited a tournament that I was going in with an all water team.
Oh no.
And
Rainbow Cup.
It was not
with
a time.
Victory
you
bell out.
It was a regrettable decision. I had fun with it. Like, it would have been a great decision if I didn't tick the weight box, but I ticked the weight box and I went down like 1,500 ranks with a 0-3.
Oh no, Steve.
And then I finished the season at like 2,000th or something. I think it was top 2,000. And so, and since then, I've never really gone like hardcore competitive as much as I was in like the first 6 months of Silph season one. So I'm sort of considering like maybe this is the try hard season, Sosa. Maybe this is the time we go for it. Give it a shot.
Steve's going try hard to have you come back with try hard and bring out some spice plays. And like, actually, like, that's what I'm so excited about with having these Sylph metas back is like, yeah, we saw a lot of these content creators like who like veer away from Sylph and go over to GBL. But like back then, like Speedish Chief was given spice picks, like try out Shiftry, try out that. Purple Kyogre was doing the same thing. King was doing the same thing. And now that, you know, they're not doing it anymore, like the opportunity to make videos of like spice pick Pokemon is wonderful. And you get to see these new Pokemon in these deep dives. So that's, I'm just so happy to have Sylph back. Like, cause you can just, it's not the same 12 Pokemon. Like, I love the meta. I think it's great right now the way it is. But you literally see the same 12 Pokemon in every tournament. And I'm really excited Sylph's back because it's not the same 12 Pokemon ever. It's all sorts of all sporadic depending on what they use. It's so much fun. Well, like Holy Cup, Frostlass looks so good, but then again, Obstagoon is right there. You got issues. Obstagoon is back in it now. So.
Yeah, that's what the Sylph Arena is really for, giving us metas where Frostlass and Vigoroth can be good. Get us back to that, Sylph. That's what I've been missing. I love that meme that goes around every now and then with the guy sweating over which button to press and the guy's Sylph Arena and it's Frostlass meta or Vigoroth meta. Not sure which one to hit.
That was season three meme and that stuck so hard for like the entire season three. It's like Frostlass or Vigoroth, what do I do? But then Trevenant came and everybody was like, okay, Trevenant can help counter Frostlass. That'd be nice to have Trevenant instead of Vigoroth. But yes, sir. So we were talking about season five, new rules. You're excited. New metas are coming. You're excited. New season is coming. You're going competitive. You're excited about this. I'm excited for you, sir. I appreciate you coming on for Executive Edition here and doing this interview with me. I know it was just a lot of get to know you, Steve, and we really appreciate all that you do. So it was great to get to know and understand like your journey as a content creator and what it took for you to get up here.
No, and we really, really appreciate having your time here, Sosa. So where can we find you, Sosa Flo?
Get the hell out of here. I don't.
Okay, fine. I'll leave. No,
I love you. This is what I'm saying, Steve. You're so humble, man. You and Speedius would just be like, yeah, where can we find you? Yeah, where do we find you? You're so great. Oh, you're great too. Like, but you guys don't understand, like, I appreciate you guys saying that. That's nice, but you should take the compliment. We do really appreciate it. I know you still, you know, you're fighting for it. That's why you wouldn't be doing it if you didn't love what you do. And I really, just so you know, keep being passionate. It's so great. Thank you for giving us an insight of who you are in this journey and what you have in the future. And you can find Steve at YouTube at PvP Steve or on Twitch now. Do we say the Twitch one?
I mean, I've done like one live stream in the last month. I don't know if that counts.
It does not. You've got a live stream now on Twitch. You got a Twitch channel.
I guess so. I guess that's the rules. Fine. Twitch.tv/PvPSteve7. I really should have picked a name that was less number requiring. Actually, here's the little tidbit is because I wanted my YouTube name to be Steve7, which is the same as my in-game name. But YouTube has this rule that you can't have channel names with more than three letters, than three of the same letter in a row. And I was like, well, that doesn't do. It needs to be all of it. So then I just had to pick something else. And I didn't pick something very creative, but here we are.
We could say that you are sort of creative, PvP Steve. I mean, how many E's? My issues with your name when trying to find you is just how many E's in the beginning and in the end? Is it like two E's in the middle, two E's at the end, three E's at the end?
I used the character cap and just filled it up with E's.
Legend. So Twitch and YouTube are the places we can find you as well. You do Facebook streams. I don't know if you still do that.
I haven't
seen you on that in a minute.
Only Facebook streams I've done were with Antimatter Gaming.
Okay.
I never did any solo.
Okay. But you YouTube stream, you live Twitch stream, and then on Twitter as well, PvP Steve, the big smiling face in the tuxedo, looking spot on. Be sure to go follow that smile, this good man, and listen to all he has to say, because Sylph Season 5 is coming. The meta simplifieds are coming out. Steve is always on top and point with the productions to make sure that we get not just Sylph information on guides and cups and metas, but also on factions as well for FSPN, because you've always hit us up and be like, hey, we got a faction, you want to do it? And I'm usually, you know, my PvP Academia and Poke Battle Network are right here for you to do it. So it's really wonderful that you're the guy that helps us get that information out to the audience and give the audience some amazing battles to see. So thank you.
Anything for you, Sosa. Anytime, anywhere.
Ugh, I'm just rambling because you're such a good man and there's so much I need to talk to you about, and I just wish I wrote it all down, but I'm so grateful for you being my first guest. We'll have to have you come back on and go into some more in-depth conversations later. But my good friend, thank you, sir, for joining us today on Executive Edition.
I appreciate you, Sosa. And don't forget to, I was going to say like, comment, subscribe, but you don't really do that with podcasts. Don't forget to leave a review.
Yeah. Is that what you do? Leave a review on this episode. And
yeah.
We'll learn about it. We're learning about it. This is my first one too. So thank you all and enjoy your battles.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.